Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, again, you know, you listen to David Pepper tell the stories in Ohio. In Pennsylvania, same thing. I mean, the reality is the manufacturing jobs haven't come back. I know people in West Virginia that the coal mining jobs that were promised aren't coming back. Our trade deficit, record high, all-time record high last month. So even with all the bluster, the chest thumping, the, oh, we're going to take them on, he's actually made it worse. Now look, I'll tell you, I'm very honest. I was in favor of tariffs. I'm in favor of taking on China and holding them accountable and, you know, stopping the currency manipulation. I don't really care about intellectual property theft. If you're stupid enough to go over there, you should get ripped off. But we should have a level playing field. And I was with him there. Problem is, he didn't do anything on that. And here to share some thoughts on what's going on around the country, I've asked Alex Morgan to come talk with us. He's executive director of the Progressive Turnout Project. Turnoutpack.org is their website. Alex, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So you hear this all the time from Trump and the Trumpkins that we've got the energy, we're enthused, we're ready to go take on and win this election. And yet I see just as much enthusiasm from the Biden folks.
You know, it's interesting. We were out of town for a couple weeks and I came back. I was one of the first people in my neighborhood to, you know, order my Biden lawn sign shortly after Super Tuesday. We came back from being out of town for a couple weeks. My neighbor across the street has one. Either side of me has one. They're all over town. I think people, even though signs don't vote, I think people are overcompensating a little bit to make sure that people know that we are fired up and ready to get out there for Joe Biden this year.
No,
we're
going
to make up for 4 years ago.
Absolutely. I live in probably one of the reddest areas in the country, and I have never seen so many signs for a Democrat like I've seen for Joe Biden in the 15 years that I've lived here. You know, I remember there being more Hillary for prison signs than Hillary signs here in 2016. So the fact that, that you've got a lot of people putting Biden signs out shows to me that there's an energy. You know, maybe it's not for, you know, getting Joe Biden as president as much as getting Donald Trump the hell out, but I don't care.
Yeah, and those are translating into, more importantly, you know, setting the signs aside, the conversations that we need to be having, you know, those of us who are really excited about this election, to everybody who needs to hear about exactly how they should be going out to vote, with how COVID has absolutely changed the landscape for our elections this year. So getting back to our program, Progressive Turnout Project has always been focused on having in-depth, meaningful conversations with inconsistent Democratic voters. So this is not you and me who make sure we cast our vote in every single election. It's folks who have a little more spotty voting records, either because they're a little more disengaged or because maybe there are barriers that have been put up between them and casting their ballot in particular elections. And we're setting out to have 55 million phone calls by the time we reach Election Day on November 3rd across 20 different battleground states this year. So we are in all of the big ones, including Pennsylvania, and we're having a lot of really good conversations.
Now, you're doing the work, and one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is you're doing the work that should be done every election cycle, talking to those people who, they're not me. They're not the super voters. They're not the people who never miss an election. You know, even if it's dog catcher, I get out and I vote for that. They're the folks who are, you know, they're in and out, like you said, and maybe not as politically active. And I think that's what's really important, engaging those folks and having the real dialogue instead of going, you know, checking down a call list, going, okay, like a survey taker. I think, you know, we have to get back to having actual honest conversations again about, you know, how do we want our government to work? What do we want from our government? What kind of an economy do we want? What kind of environment do we want? These are huge, huge issues that I think we need more input on.
Yeah, and that is exactly why we started Progressive Turnout Project. We actually started in 2016, 4 years ago. We were a lot smaller. We only worked in six different congressional districts. But myself and Harry Pascal, who I started PTP with, we recognized on some of the campaigns that we had worked on that while we were spending a lot of time doing persuasion work, talking to independent voters who always vote, and a lot of time and attention was spent on what TV ads we're gonna run and what does the direct mail look like and, you know, what are we doing to make sure we're talking about our policy positions on these different pieces, we always looked and said the thing that was always going by the wayside and seemed like an afterthought were these important turnout conversations, the folks who can make or break an election just by showing up, because we know that 9 times out of 10, they're going to cast the ballot for our Democratic candidates. And that's exactly what we saw in key states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin 4 years ago, was that we came up just shy, you know, 10,000 votes in Michigan, 30,000 votes in Wisconsin, right around 50,000 votes in Pennsylvania, of winning the White House. And what a difference it has made with 4 years of Donald Trump, who, you know, as you were talking about with David Pepper earlier, made all these promises to working folks across the country and has failed to deliver on any of them. And on top of that, we actually find ourselves in the middle of multiple crises right now, a public health crisis, an economic crisis, a racial justice crisis. So we're focused on making sure we're closing the gap in all those key states, in addition to a whole bunch of Senate states, so that we make the difference on election day.
Now, this is one of those moments where you go back and you look at the numbers, and you know, Trump obviously lost the popular vote by 3 million. You know, we had, you know, like, what was it, like 66 million to 63 million, but something like 100 million people didn't vote. And you go, you know, you didn't even get the majority of the country, let alone the majority of the actual votes. You know, in this moment in history, this is, for me, reaching out to those 100 million people who didn't vote, saying, look, if you're happy with the way all of this is going, because I know a lot of you are suffering like the rest of us, there's a way to get beyond that. And that's to register, make a plan to vote, and then execute that plan to cast your ballot and throw the bums out. To me, it is that simple.
You've probably seen that graphic on Facebook where it's like, if didn't vote was a candidate, it would have won, you know, the last election. And so, you know, that's exactly what we have to focus on. And those are, that's the universe that we're calling into. About a third of the people who we're calling are people who stayed home 4 years ago.
So with your organization, if people wanted to get involved, because I know you're making 55 million phone calls, sounds like an awful lot. I mean, I don't like being on the phone 5 minutes. And so good on the folks who are out there doing that. I'm sure you need bodies and you know, people to help out.
Well, one thing that we have is we've got a staff of about 1,000 full-time people who are across the country in 17 of our battleground states. Right now, they are calling voters who have their absentee ballots to follow up and make sure that they send them back in. They're also making vote planning conversations to ask folks who haven't yet requested their ballot about, you know, do you want to request a ballot? You know, we're getting closer and closer to those deadlines. Or do you want to go an early vote if that's an option in your state? Or are you still planning to go on election day, you know, and do you know about any changes that may have been taking place either in the courts or at your clerk's office that are means there's going to be an adjustment to how you vote this year? So we are doing that around the clock. And then we also do have a large volunteer effort called Turnout 2020. It's not just us. It's a coalition effort of a number of other Democratic and progressive organizations to get volunteers plugged in. And so if anyone is interested in helping on the phones between now and Election Day, we have trainings pretty much every day of the week, and people can sign up at turnout2020.org.
We'll make sure we get links out so folks take a look at that and maybe make a handful of the 55 million. You don't have to make all 55 million, right?
No. We think probably the volunteer piece, you know, is maybe going to make a couple million of the 55 million. So we know that folks have their day jobs as well.
So you're out there, you're talking to all these people. They've got to be telling you something. What seem to be the top issues on folks' minds as you're talking to them? For me, I mean, honestly, I'll tell you right from the start, labor rights is my number one issue. And that's the main reason I think Trump has to go. We have never had a more anti-worker president than the guy we've got sitting in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now. But what are the people that you're talking to, what are they saying are their key issues?
Yep. It's always interesting. You talk about the issue you care about most. You know, I spent a few years as a teacher. Education is always the first thing that comes to mind from my perspective. But I don't think this is going to surprise anybody. We survey everybody who we speak with and have a full conversation with. We ask them about what's motivating them to vote. A lot of times the conversation starts by talking about, you know, Trump. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what the news of the day is. He's inserted himself in some way. But when we start probing and we ask them, well, what is it, you know, about him that really bothers you, or what has he done that bothers you, so that we can identify what issues folks really care about, they really doubled down, and 21% of folks so far have told us that corruption is their number one issue. They've really seen the corrosive impact of the Trump administration on government so much that it is gnawing at them every single day, that this is the number one thing that is motivating them to get to the polls. They see the corrosive influence that he and big money has had on our politics. And it goes beyond him, right? If we have a conversation in a Senate state, we inevitably get back to Mitch McConnell as well, right? In the last couple of years of the Obama administration, nothing was able to be accomplished through the Congress because you had folks like Mitch McConnell blocking every single thing that the president was trying to do. So
they know
it extends beyond Trump, and they're sick of it.
And the fact that he's got like 500 pieces of legislation that passed the House now sitting on his desk, never mind way back then. There's all that legislation he refuses to move right now. I got to tell you, the kleptocracy seems to be, I'm surprised that it's the number one issue, because I would have thought during a time of pandemic, during a time of worry of getting sick, that healthcare would be up there. So I'm actually quite impressed that that is the number one issue.
Well, and I think it's because it threads through everything else. You know, why do we see a lack of access to affordable healthcare, which is our second most talked about issue at 18%? It's because of the corrosive influence of big money and corporate interests. And, Trump's corruption and incompetence is one of the big reasons why we can't get anything done on this pandemic. I think it's up there because you see the impact it has on every other issue.
Yeah, it's one of these moments where you just go, there's so much. Yeah, and I've had conversations with people who go, you ask, what's the most important issue? And they go, you got an hour? it's kind of like there's a whole list. Obviously corruption and the kleptocracy that we're living under right now, obviously up there. But I'm actually pretty surprised that that's the number one. How can people help? I'm sure you need donations, that part of it.
So if folks want to learn more about us and our efforts and our story, they can go to turnoutpac.org. And if they're looking to get involved right away with our phone banking efforts, they can go to turnout2020.org.
Good stuff. Alex, I appreciate the time. Good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me.
Thanks so much. Alex Morgan, Executive Director of the Progressive Turnout Project. You can check out their website, turnoutpac.org. We'll get links to how you can find all that. And really simply, and look, maybe you give them a hand. Maybe you throw it out there to where, you get involved. I hope folks do. But I appreciate the time, Alex. Real quick, before we take a break, I got an email today from none other than former Governor Ed Rendell. Evidently, we're going to be heading into a bipartisan moment where Ed Rendell and newly going to be retired Senator Pat Toomey are joining together. And they're joining together for something really super serious. They're going to end the partisan gridlock. And they're going to push for term limits, congressional term limits. That's right. Congressional term limits. They claim in the email that they sent me that our state is full of passionate people on both sides of the aisle. And that diversity, they say, of opinion is undoubtedly one of our strengths. He said, they write, but in these partisan times, it's easy to forget that Republicans and Democrats still have a lot of common ground. They say, we share many of the same frustrations and hopes, and we all seek to solve problems through our government. They write, it's time. We believe the time has come for big structural changes in how Washington, D.C. does business. And their big structural change? Congressional term limits. They say more than any other change, more than anything we could do, term limits, that's going to be it. It's going to be how we restore trust in government and trust in the people who are our leaders, because they've lost that trust. They write, and it's one of those moments that I just go, they say, we aren't alone in this feeling. A 2020 poll showed that every five Pennsylvania voters, regardless of party, favors term limits on members of Congress. They say, at the federal level, term limits, they believe, would help produce more profiles in courage. It would embolden members of Congress to cast votes based on conscience rather than maintaining incumbency. I'm not allowed to swear, but bull. Absolute total bull. It's always been a lie. It's always going to be a lie. We have the right to limit terms. It's called the vote. We have the ultimate term limiter, an educated, activated, engaged voting citizenry. You know what we could do to fix our problems, though? Seriously, if really you wanted to boil down and fix it, here's what you do. End corporate money into all political elections. Get rid of Citizens United. No more corporate personhood. No more buying. No more senator from Exxon. No more, you know, NASCAR jacket full of corporate owners. End that. Then we go to publicly financed elections. Everybody has the same money, even playing field. We don't make it about money anymore. We make it about ideas. So whoever can run the best campaign with the money that they've got and bring in the most volunteers, not corporate lackeys, they do well. We give them free airtime. Everyone gets an equal amount of free airtime to air their opinions, their thoughts, how they want to run their campaign, their visions. We gerrymander. We actually do gerrymander. We gerrymander districts so that they're competitive. We don't have 90% Democrats in one district and 90% Republicans in another. We don't create safe districts. Where we can, we gerrymander it towards 50-50 voter registration. So people actually have to fight for voters. There's a lot we could be doing. A lot we could be doing. This simple-minded, idiotic, not going to do it. So for me, big no on the term limits. Because I want somebody who actually knows what the hell they're doing. And finally, I don't want somebody who in the last year of their term casts a vote that's going to get them their next job. And we know this happens time and time again in those places that have term limits. It's a horrible idea. It's exactly what corporate America wants. And it's bad. Quick break. Right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.